It's a fucking lockdown. Mass hysteria. Mass hysteria.
We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it.
But don't let me touch you.
Hey everybody, it's Benny Benack III coming to you from the Quarantine Cafe, otherwise known as my apartment in New York. I've got some advice for how we can all combat Corona this season. Corona's gonna clear up, put a mask on your face, brush off that cough and cheer up, oh but please don't leave your place. Don't be a tough guy and still go outside, can you believe the nerve? Above all else, self-quarantine, and we'll flatten the curve. Check out your favorite Netflix, FaceTime your friends and foes, learn a few brand new card tricks, oh, but don't touch your face or nose. Don't spread Corona all over the place, and put a mask on your happy face.
That's right, people. You should be putting a mask on when you go out in public. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Tom, here with Catherine.
Hi.
Hi, Catherine. As we always do, bring you in with a little ditty. That is Benny Benack III. Put a mask on your face. This guy's... Oh, boy. He's going to town. He's got, like, a keyboard. Now he's playing a trumpet. He's a double threat here. It's pretty impressive. Anyway, I always post the videos up in the show description. Again, welcome to the show. God, we've been doing this show now for 9 episodes. This is episode 9. Welcome to the show again.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. The date is May 14th, 2020, day 63 of quarantine.
For us.
That actually makes the 2-month mark for us since we started, you know, the whole self-quarantine thing, the stay-at-home order. We're here in Atlanta, Georgia, where, as we've talked about prior on the show, they have lifted a lot of the stay-at-home order. Stuff is opening back up. The economy is, I guess, trying to kickstart itself here in the South. Neighboring states are starting to open up too. I believe Florida is going to start opening it up at a faster pace.
They're doing phases.
Phases, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the new thing to say, is like things are like everything's rolling out in phases.
It's supposed to make us feel better, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, for those of you keeping up with all this, the news, I always kind of give you the tally, although it's never good news. We're up to 1 million. 411,000 cases of coronavirus, and just today I think there are over 85,000 deaths. So obviously stuff's, you know, still incrementally rising. Death toll is rising still. I haven't really read much about stuff getting less. I've read statistics that in Georgia it has, I guess, maybe not flattened, but remained about the same for a week or so.
I think that's counting the whole state, though. I think there are some hot spots that are real hot. And so if you're living in one of those places, the news may look better than it really is.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And
the state gets to average it.
That's true. And I mean, numbers are numbers. Who even knows? I mean, a lot of times we've talked about, you know, between the two of us that we feel probably the number's probably way lower than it actually is when it comes to cases and the death count.
Yeah, they're not testing bodies. They're not, if you've died at home, for instance, and your family's quite sure you had COVID, it doesn't count because you weren't tested before you died.
Yeah, we had a random conversation with Catherine's parents. It was Father's Day last, not Father's Day. Mother's Day. Sorry to all those mothers out there. It was Mother's Day last Sunday. We did like a fun little video call with our moms. I got my folks in Mass. Catherine's folks are in Florida. And we all talked, and something randomly came up. Unfortunately, one of Catherine's father's longtime friends and mentor had passed away, an older gentleman.
In his 90s.
In his 90s, in an assisted living place. And your dad kind of had said what? That like they didn't want to test to make to see if he had died of COVID-19?
Yeah, he was in his 90s and he had some underlying health conditions, but nothing that was going to kill him immediately. And so when he had shortness of breath and died quickly, my dad was talking to the police officers and said, like, you know, so it must have been COVID. Are we going to test? They said, no, of course not. So that's one of those situations where he doesn't count, even though
right.
you can be pretty sure that that's yeah. probably what did it. He was old and he did have some underlying health conditions, but doctors did not think he was on his deathbed. So
it's interesting. And again, he could be just one of many cases like that. And
oh, he is. Yeah.
You know, again, it's crazy. It's just such crazy times. I hope everybody's doing well and hanging in there for the long run, obviously. There doesn't seem to be really an end in sight to this. When it comes down to, I guess, the talks of vaccines, I read something that said like they have about 8 that are possibly going to start moving into trials. Of course, there's no guarantee any of those vaccines are going to work or be efficient. I think we talked about it way early on in the show when we said, man, this could probably go all the way into next year. And the more and more this goes on, it definitely seems like that's what's going to happen. That's the possibility, is we'll be kind of living in this coronavirus caution for much longer. And obviously, you know, we just see kind of that transformation in our day-to-day. We talked about on the last episode going out and seeing, you know, a good amount of people wearing masks, a lot of people not wearing masks.
That's really become a political issue.
Yeah, it has become kind of political in a strange way. It kind of has towed this like party line thing. And we were talking about that today on our walk of, you know, it's politics has unfortunately become a team sport nowadays, where you jump on your team, you support your team no matter what. And I think it's hurt us as a country and as a culture and a society, and at the worst time possible, you know?
Yeah, that's a big, deep issue. I don't know that we
don't need to deep dive into that.
But yeah, I'd have to agree. It's, you know, it's not a secret that we're very divided.
Yeah. And
but the mask issue seems to be an issue that I would never have thought should be a division. And yet it is.
Yeah. But again, you know, it's this weird thing of like history repeats itself. I mean, I read something, too, that said, like, even back in the 1918 Spanish flu, there was the same group of people. It was the same argument, again, of a division of people that just wanted to get back to their day to day. They didn't want to wear masks. There was other flare-ups. There were setbacks. It's weird. We do repeat ourselves in a strange way. And hopefully we can all learn from it and take the steps in the right direction to better ourselves. And God knows, entertain ourselves and keep ourselves at bay for a little bit longer. God knows this is not easy for everybody. It's surely not easy for us. You know, we try to do everything we can to stay sane in quarantine. I think as the days and weeks and months tick away, it gets harder. The stuff that you started doing when this started isn't as fun. We kind of hit that wall last weekend. We kind of been on this big fervor of like playing games, and we've been playing board games, and you know, it was a lot of fun. You know,
and I would say,
don't
too,
get me wrong, but
the games, even we would progress through games. So okay, this game's old, let's get another game.
Sure.
And so we were sort of breakneck pace, you know, getting through the list of games, new game, new game, new game, and then this weekend.
Hit a wall.
I couldn't do a game.
We just couldn't. We really couldn't. We had kind of been gamed out. It was actually a nice change, I'll say. We just kind of had more of a low-key weekend. We kind of just hung out more.
We watched like 3 or 4 movies.
We did watch movies. I'd like to talk about some of those films we watched. I'm sure everybody is watching either old movies or movies they needed to catch up on. God knows they have the time now. TV shows are obviously popular. We did that this weekend. We were doing that kind of before, where we were kind of making our weekends, our movie weekends, and we kind of burned through a lot of movies in the very beginning of quarantine and then kind of pumped the brakes because honestly, there's just not good movies out.
Boy, it's tough. Yeah, it can be really tough to find good movies, especially if you're only looking in the catalog of the past year or two.
Yeah,
it's
rough.
There's not much. And if you've seen a few of them, you've seen them all. We have been hacking our way through the television shows through the weekdays. We do that, you know, so we've got like 3 or 4 shows going at any given time, and we're really making our solid headway every week on that. But yeah, I guess it's nice. I always just, and I'm like this when I'm working from home too, but especially now in self-isolation and quarantine, I want the weekend to feel different from the weekdays. So if you're going to sit down and watch something, I mostly try not to sit down and watch the same shows I watch Monday through Friday.
I agree.
Just want to make it feel different, eat different things, do different things.
It sets it apart. And for us, we've kind of turned the weekends into this kind of thing in the distance to look forward to.
Oh, yep.
You know, and it's funny. It's like we're literally tricking ourselves. It's the carrot on the stick, you know, but it has helped a lot. Again, we try to stay pretty stringent to how our life was before this whole thing with our Monday to Friday. We eat healthy, we work out, we kind of do things that we, again, did before this all happened. And then again, we kind of let loose and do whatever we want on the weekends. And that's kind of this means to celebrate. We ordered out Mexican food last weekend because we didn't really do the whole Tuesday Cinco de Mayo thing. I will sadly say, we talked about this today too, that it kind of showed me how certain food in this age does not really translate well when it is delivered to you. Like, for instance, this Mexican place that we've ordered from quite often, because we've actually eaten there at the establishment, is a great experience, and we've had a lot of good times there, a lot of good food. And the times that we've actually ordered the food and it's come to us delivered, it's a completely different scenario. It just does not, like, it doesn't reheat very well. It loses its consistency, but the flavor's there, which is funny because it's like you're not really eating a taco. You're eating like a taco that's just been destroyed, but the taco flavor and all the seasoning and stuff is still there. What didn't you say?
Yeah, we ordered like 5 different dishes: enchiladas, tacos, a chimichanga.
Yeah, we went
beans
crazy.
And rice. You know, we had all these different things, and in the end, and I don't like to eat cold food. I really want my food hot.
Yeah,
so
same.
It all went in the oven separately, you know, to try to do the best reheat job possible. And in the end, my plate had 5 different masses,
piles.
You know, 5 different piles of food that looked indistinguishable from each other.
They were.
They tasted a little different.
Yeah.
Each thing, you know, the enchilada had an enchilada-ish flavor.
It was
whatever.
Funny. Thank God for the chips, because the chips acted to make it like a scoop this pile onto a chip and then eat that chip. It was like the chips were just this cohesion to the whole meal. It was just the saddest looking Mexican plate you've ever seen.
Essentially, we turned the enchiladas into an enchilada dip. We had taco dip. Black beans and rice dip.
I mean, we tried. We did. We really wanted that Cinco de Mayo feel, and we did it. And this is kind
it
of what we've
sad,
been
though.
Doing is we've been like kind of indulging, kind of doing the Uber Eats or the Grubhub, whatever it might be. But yeah, it's a sad reminder that it's just not that good
not
if you can't
same.
Go to the restaurant.
I mean, a lot of things I think travel better. The Mexican maybe doesn't, you know, I guess I could have said that even before we tried. I knew that, but
we took a chance.
We had to. That was the thing we were celebrating with Cinco de Mayo. but you know, I mean, pizza does better. You know, you can reheat pizza on the stovetop on a dry pan.
Mm-hmm.
You can reheat things like chicken parmesan and
Chinese food.
Lasagna, Chinese food.
Like rice is an easy kind of reheat.
Yep.
Breaks up again, little water.
Rice and noodles. Noodles is kind of the same way. You heat them on the stove with a little extra water. Yeah, you can bring some things back to life, but yeah.
But not tortillas.
It's still just a sad.
No.
It was a total reminder of like, nothing's the same.
Yeah,
and then,
it was depressing.
And then we went on Sunday to Jersey Mike's to pick up our weekly subs. In the past 3 or 4 weeks, we've been having subs every week. The first week I went in, I wore my mask.
Mm-hmm.
There was nobody in the store. There was one person working there. I walked in. I said my name. He handed me my sub, and I turned around and left. We order online, so we do it quick and easy. Second week, there were 2 or 3 people working, one other person in the store. I walked up, got my sub, left. This must have been the third week. The third week,
well,
it was your job to go in. You had the mask on.
I pulled the short straw.
Yeah. And I saw you go in. There were people everywhere outside the store. I stayed outside and paced around the parking lot.
Hordes of families.
And it took you like 10 minutes
easily.
In there.
I would even put it at 15. When I walked in, you know, obviously like a lot of places nowadays, establishments, there were definitely, you know, decals on the floor that spaced you out, you know? So they had like the area that was where you walked to the counter and order, and then there was like a wall, and then on the other side of the small wall was like people waiting for pickup orders like ours, because we had pre-ordered our order. And the first thing I walk into is obviously this young teenage couple, both right next to each other on their phones, not wearing a mask. And I look at them, they're standing there. I see the line in front of them moving, they're not moving, and now I have to like interact with them. Hi, are you guys waiting on a sub? Yeah, we're waiting on it. It wouldn't move. I had to like make my way around them. The person who was at the counter at Jersey Mike's was incredibly stressed out, yelling at people, I need you to separate. If you don't separate, I'm going to kick you all out, he proclaimed very angrily. You could literally read the stress on their face, all of them, everybody behind the counter. Obviously, they're all wearing masks. And again, I got kind of out of there, I would say in about 15 minutes time, it was palpable. I could feel the stress. I totally feel for these people that are working in these establishments, because now it's not even just about servicing people. It's about being a babysitter and making sure people are abiding by the new rules. It's got to be so fucking frustrating.
Yeah, enforcement.
Enforcement.
And I'm sure your experience, you know, we weren't thinking about it that day, but looking back, I'm sure your experience was because it was Mother's Day. And since Mother's Day, you give mom a break from the kitchen and you buy food, right? But this Mother's Day, I saw like Olive Garden and Red Lobster.
I love
had,
it.
Like,
it's those two restaurants.
Fist fights outside and like fights with like servers trying to get their food. 3-hour-long waits. Cars like around the fucking block. It sounded horrible.
And this is exactly what we're greeting the food industry with as we all come out of quarantine, being miserable, mean, belligerent. Yeah. I mean, you know, we said it today, man. People are losing it, man. People, it is a pressure cooker. People are pissed off and angry.
And scared.
And
scared. Poor.
Yeah. And now they want to go out and get a kind of a small assimilation of what they used to love.
Yep.
You know, dipping their toe in the water. But that's the thing, is it's just like it's all about them. It's not about the greater good. It just, they want what they want, and they want it now.
Yeah, I mean, boy.
Scary. It's just weird. And again, it's just, those were two different tastes this past weekend. We got a taste of actually going into a place and a taste of a delivery. Obviously, delivery is the safer way. It's kind of the less contact way. There's definitely caveats to it. And now there's caveats to walking into a place and rolling the dice to see what you get.
Yeah, I don't know. And now Wisconsin opening back up and everybody's sitting at the bar. That's the one thing that's still not open in Georgia is bars.
Yeah, Kemp did push, Governor Kemp pushed back, I guess, the reopening. I want to say at least until end of May.
I don't know.
When I had read something about, nightclubs, bars. But yeah, Wisconsin, they're sure thirsty there. They need their Milwaukee's best, you know. They were literally elbow to elbow, crammed at bars. I saw pictures. Hey, I mean,
people seem to have no sense anymore.
I don't
and that's
know.
I guess you're right. It does come down to these like business owners and workers to enforce mask wearing and separation and all these things that people don't want to do. And boy, that is not a position you want to be in, to fight with somebody to put on a mask. And those people that broke the employee's arm over a mask, and like, people are just, people.
A guy pulled a gun in an Orlando Publix recently.
Oh my God.
You know, just because he was frustrated with the service.
Oh my God.
So, yeah, I mean, hey, listen, people, we're all there. We're
Chill
all
out.
Feeling it. Chill out. Just relax. Take it easy. Do some deep breathing exercises. You're going to eventually be able to go get Cheddar Bay biscuits. It will go back to normal, but chill out. But yeah, that's that. We also made the joke recently, you know, we've been talking about on the show our grocery exploits, where we go grocery shopping. Most recently, we had to go into a grocery store, plus we do kind of the pickup groceries at our local Kroger. And Catherine and I have now been doing this again for 2 months, and it has become literally like preparing for war every week that we go to do this. Catherine, I will give you this. You have it down to a science. It's a very thought-out particular plan. We learned our lesson from last week.
Yeah, it's ever-evolving. There's it always is evolving. New lessons, it is and evolving. You have to integrate them into the new plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's our plan this week?
God.
So...
Well, that's tomorrow.
Tomorrow that we have D-Day, a pickup Friday. Scheduled for 3 p.m. We have to leave. You know, it's like a 3 to 4 p.m. window at the Kroger down the street. There's two different Krogers, the one that offers the pickup and the one that's close to us. So we'll go get the pickup. They put it in your trunk. You don't interact with anybody. You show your ID through the window for the beer and the wine. And they'll leave a list in the trunk to say the shit that they did not give you. Now, I wish this list was digital, but no, they leave you a paper list. The one week they didn't leave it was a total pain in the ass. So I always have to ask, thank you so much. Did you leave the list, the paper, the list in the car? Yeah, thank you. Okay, great. Then I get the list. Then we make that list of things they didn't give us into a paper list. We made the mistake last week of me putting it on my phone, which meant I had my phone all over the grocery store.
You're scrolling through it nonstop. It's a real pain in the ass.
Touching it, whatever. Of course, I sanitized it after, but it's just not, you don't look at your phone the same way. So now we have got a piece of paper and pen sitting out by the front door for tomorrow that I'll bring into the car, make a paper list of all the things that we're missing. We always have the clean hands, dirty hands thing rocking. So you're usually dirty hands and I'm clean hands or the other way around so that we can get things done. I can't imagine how much tougher it would be without a partner,
by
the way.
Oh, man, we were talking about that. A single person living by living by themselves, actually trying to stay on the clean and narrow side of things. I can't imagine. It's got to be like... Get your groceries, bring them in, clean them, put them in an area where they're at least clean and disinfected, then wait, now put them away. It's just got to add more waiting time. Like, at least we do it in a fell swoop.
Yeah. Well, like, even going to Starbucks is a fucking adventure. So every weekend when we go to Starbucks, you know, you get the drink. Whoever's the driver is dirty hands. So you accept the drinks into the car, put them into the drink holder, drive to the very first parking space, park the car. Spray everything down that was touched by the dirty hands.
This sounds so insane.
Pick up the dirty hands now picks up the drinks and clean hands, sprays Lysol all over the drink exterior and the drink holders and the steering wheel and the window button and the drive shaft thing. Fucking Lysol everywhere. Then everybody does hand sanitizer.
Yes.
Oh, I forgot the straws. You got to get the straws and the drinks with clean hands, dirty hands situation.
And God forbid there is a single slip up in the process. It has to just
start all over. Yeah, more hand sanitizer,
and
more Lysol.
And I've done that at least two or three times since this has all started.
I think we're crazy, but we're not. That's the problem.
And I'll be honest with you. Like, I'm sure there's over precaution, but I have read fucking horror stories about people that like have literally not left their homes.
Yeah.
And have done very similar kind of self-isolation like we have, and they got coronavirus.
Still get it. That's the
thing. And they've traced it to groceries. They've traced it to possibly being from a delivery driver. It's just like there's just no clear trace of contact with any of this shit.
It is infectious, and that's that. It's easy to pass.
So this fucking sucks, and every time we do it, we're always like, God, I want my old life back. This
I wish
sucks,
I didn't have
and we
to
curse
Lysol.
It all the time.
Yeah, I wish I didn't have to Lysol my fucking Starbucks.
You know, I will say, just thinking about it, because we talked about it, my hands have almost adapted to the hand washing and the the sanitizer. Yeah, I've just noticed, like, for a period of time, these hands were super red, super chapped and coarse. They're just not.
Oh, no, I still have that.
You know, I don't know what's happened. I'm adapting. I'm adapting
good
to
for you.
Coronavirus life.
My sensitive skin is not adapted.
Right.
I've got creams. I've got medicated, like prescription creams.
Balms.
I've got balms by every sink for after I wash my hands. And the newest trick for anybody else who might have this issue as much as I do, when my hands do crack, because they will at the knuckles, three or four cracks at each knuckle, I saw this tip on an article and I tried it and it is fucking magic. Mm. You need that liquid Band-Aid.
Okay.
And you get the cracks on the knuckles and you liquid Band-Aid it. Now you have to make sure that like your knuckle is extended so you can really get it in there, and it stings like a motherfucker.
Ugh.
But it seals up the crack and it no longer is as painful. So that's my advice.
Thanks for that life hack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I mean, again, let's move on past the torment of our goddamn routines, having to get out into the goddamn real world. I literally feel like I'm in fucking outer space. I'm leaving like the gravity lock, and I'm going out into space every fucking time. That's how it literally feels to me. I feel like I'm just like, I got to make sure. Do I have a cut in my suit? If I have a cut in my suit, I'll die. I'll freeze and explode.
Yeah. Well, I will remind you, this can always get worse. So,
I mean, it definitely can get worse. And, you know, it might get worse. We made the analogy of we're on the big roller coaster and God knows how many fucking hills, dips, and upside down twists there are still, you know?
I fear, too, that this is like just the first one. Like, I'm almost 40. And let's say when I turn like 60 or 70, some awful other thing comes along and it's like, remember when we did this when we were 40 and it was bad, but now it's worse? And I fear that.
And also, like, can you imagine the literal PTSD this will have for the people that have been through it in the future? Mm. It's just that I'm sure it's going to make people very hyper aware, hypersensitive. There's going to be all new forms of anxieties and panics.
Well, even just on the low end of things, like, I just won't look at things the same.
Yeah.
I've always seen germs everywhere, so that's not new to me.
Right.
But I still had some level of just like, don't give a fuck. You know, I did not open every door handle with my elbow, but now I do.
Oh, hate it.
All right.
Yeah, let's move on. I'll circle back. Let's talk about, again, last weekend we did watch some movies. Let's talk about the movies we watched. We watched three movies. We watched two on Saturday. We did the double feature, and then we watched one on Sunday. On Saturday, we watched Extraordinary. And then we watched It Comes at Night, two completely different films. Very, very different. One, Extraordinary, was like a comedy. I would really put it under the vein of comedy.
That one was super fun.
Yeah, it was a really big surprise. I'm sure you can find it on some kind of streaming service or however you find your movies. It had Will Forte in it, who was kind of the big name in the entire production.
Like, kind of side character, not one of the main. He was a main character, but not one of the main two.
Yeah. I would say the rest of the cast was Scottish, Irish.
Unknown to me, but
the
really
accent
great.
Came across from somewhere there and the Highlands or wherever. But it was very, I almost said to you a few times, like, it had a Shaun of the Dead kind of vibe to it, where it was like there was kind of over the top animated violence, but it was funny.
Yeah.
Liked the characters easily. And yeah, it takes place in that paranormal investigator world. I don't want to give too much away, but it's pretty funny. And it had a pretty decent CGI budget. Like, some of the effects were real funny. And the two kind of main characters really played well off of each other. And every character in it was funny, which I think is a hard task to have nowadays. I think it came out last year, but if you can find it, I would say out of all the movies we watched, I like that one the best. That was the one we watched first, Extraordinary.
Yeah, definitely. I really liked the female lead. She was awesome. Unexpectedly great. I think you had said you'd seen her somewhere.
Yeah, I looked her up on IMDb, and she had done like very bit parts in America. I think I saw she did a few recurring characters on Amy Schumer's show.
Oh, that's what it was.
Possibly just a small player, but very funny. She played her whole shtick really well.
Will Forte, I think my take on it, first of all, he probably produced it if I had to guess, but he was the only name in it. And I think he's your entry into like seeing it. I think it becomes like, oh, it's the new Will Forte movie, but it's not about him. And it is great. It was good.
Yeah, they definitely used the Will Forte name. I think probably to selling it in America, use Will Forte on the banner and you push him hard. But, you know, he was the perfect Will Forte. For those of you who've ever seen the Tim and Eric show, and like there's a couple zany characters Will Forte has played on that show, it's very on par with that and his just typical brand. I mean, Will Forte's a maniac, but he's super funny, and it was good to see him in something.
Yeah, I think we determined through the scenes. I really don't think that they had like a title card that said this. But I think we determined it was the 90s. You know, there were a few like...
It felt dated, yeah.
Yeah, you could... In the tech, there was like a cassette and a VCR and things that told me probably 90s, which was cool. But that reminds me to say with Will Forte, and this is just a throwaway. After this, we'll get back to the movie thing. But I just saw recently that the I missed the show. What was the name of it?
Last Man on Earth?
Yes, Last Man on Earth. And
relevant now.
In the first episode of that show, 2020 is the year that it begins.
Really?
With the virus took everybody out. So
ahead of its time.
Uh-huh. Little eerie there. But anyway, next.
Well, speaking of eerie, the follow-up movie that we watched that evening after Extraordinary was a, I would call it an indie suspense slash horror movie called It Comes at Night. This movie was distributed by A24. Anybody that's, you know, that knows A24, they kind of produce a certain brand of movie. I'm not sure if they did Hereditary and Midsommar. I think they did, yeah. But that's exactly what you can kind of expect. They're usually kind of low-budget indie films, different kind of movies. And I would say this one really fell into that category. I didn't really know what to expect going into it. It definitely is something to watch in quarantine because it's very much about quarantine. It's about a contagious disease that's spread. It's kind of an unknown disease as to what the disease does to you. It's one of those slow burn movies that just, I felt it didn't answer all the questions in the end. It just was very singular in its path of story, which really follows this family and strangers that kind of come into their world and the drama that ensues there. You know, I don't even know how to sum it up.
Yeah, you almost can't without giving anything away.
Yeah.
So I guess you got to stop there. I guess I would say, though, that I did not understand the title. I still don't understand the title. I kind of wish there was a different title. I think maybe it was even advertised. I think I never bring full information to the table here. But I think I read an article recently that said something about its marketing campaign made it seem like a monster movie
it
or
did.
Something comes at night.
Yes.
But you know,
and you get
it's
that
virus,
from the title.
So.
You think what's it? And
right.
You know, I even
virus doesn't just come at night. I don't
right.
get it.
I think it was a little confusing there, and obviously from the kind of preview I saw, it was a little trickery. I mean, obviously there are some real suspenseful kind of moments, a few little jump scares here and there, but very slow burn of a movie.
Give it your rating because we can't say much else. So what's your...
I don't know. If I gave it out of a 10 rating, I'd probably give it, honestly, a 5.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say A through F. I'd give it a C.
If it was a letter grade, I would say, a low C.
Okay.
Again, like, I'm not telling you to run out and check this movie out. Again, I'd put Extraordinary over this one. I think you probably enjoy it more. You definitely leave it feeling way more uplifting. Spoiler alert, super downer ending.
Yeah, that is a spoiler. Move on, bro.
To It Comes at Night. Okay, last movie we watched on Sunday, which we literally just mentioned, was Midsommar.
Why do you say it like that?
Is it Midsommar?
Isn't it? I don't know.
I've heard people say Somer.
Who?
And Summer. People that have refuted it. I don't know.
Oh, wow. Well, then maybe
they
know
just
more
like to be
I
cool
do.
Like me and say it different.
I know. It does sound like you're trying to be cool.
Midsommar. I'm like, what's her face from Schitt's Creek? I just say all my shit differently.
Moira.
Moira from Schitt's Creek. And you should watch Schitt's Creek. It is pretty good. So we saw Hereditary. Midsommar is by Ari Aster, the filmmaker who did Hereditary, which a few years ago, everybody talked about Hereditary, how shocking it was. It was a definite experience. We definitely took them up on that, and we saw Hereditary in the theater.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did too. We came away, it sort of like coincided with we hadn't seen a movie in the theater in a long time either. So we came away from it sort of, I think we talked for hours that night.
It was a total think
about
piece.
It. Yeah. About like things that the movie almost just alluded to. Like things they never actually said, but we put together and made our own sort of backstory for everything. And it all added up. And we went on, you know, theory after theory with that movie. So that was cool. We really enjoyed that one because, you know, when you get even more time, hours of conversation out of a movie ticket, it's done its job, right?
I agree.
So Hereditary, I agree. We liked that one a lot. And I expected the same kind of experience for Midsommar.
Not the case.
No.
It
too was fine. I would give it a low C again. That sounds right. Low C grade.
And I guess it's just kind of like Hereditary had its way of shocking you, you know, which it had a gimmick really from the beginning to end that made you feel uneasy, put you in a certain mood. It had a certain style.
Well, I would say in addition to that, and it did have a certain mood, and that culminated in several scenes that verified the mood. Like, yeah. The mood persisted from the very beginning of the movie all the way through to the end. But, you know, there came scenes throughout to verify to you, yeah, this everything mm-hmm. is real fucking creepy, because right. this scene, you know, it spiked at moments to show you that the mood you yeah. were feeling was legit.
Yeah.
Midsommar, I felt, never spiked.
No, it was very...
It had a mood and that was it.
Yeah, and it was like ripply. It wasn't just like... I'll be honest with you. There's, you know, again, I called it like literally from the very probably 30 minutes of the film in. I just was like, I'm pretty sure this is how this is going to go. It went exactly how I thought it was going to go. There's really no twist in it. You just can pretty much be like, oh yeah, so this is what's going to happen. And it just plays out that way.
And it just does. Yeah.
And it just does. And it's like at the end, you're all like, well, this was horrifying in the sense of kind of what happens to the people in it. But at the same time, you call it, and you call it pretty quickly. And I will say, from the same guy that made Hereditary, definitely a step down from his first film.
Yeah, it didn't pull punches, or no. It did pull its punches. Is that what it means? Yeah, it just didn't have the same impact. I would say too, you know, thinking back on the whole movie, there was one scene of shocking violence near the beginning, maybe two. Okay,
disturbing. Yeah,
one disturbing, one violent. And then the end, though, which is where you really, especially if you're a horror movie fan, you're sure. expecting like ultimate violence at the end. You're expecting the end yeah. to top everything you've seen so far.
Right.
And this, a lot of it happened off screen.
Yes.
Like, you come to it when
true.
It's over and
yeah.
you're like, huh, that might have been a cool scene, but it's already done.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, Jesus Christ, what's the main actress in it?
Oh, she's good too.
Florence something.
Florence Pugh?
Yeah. She's great. She cries literally 80% of the film. She's literally has a cry face on the whole movie, so just get used to it. Again, it's up to you. You can check it out. That one's on, I think, Amazon Prime is where we watched that one.
Yeah, this
so
movie didn't use her talents.
If you want, have at it.
Especially in the same way that Fighting With My Family did. That's a great movie that you
yeah,
should
that wasn't
see.
Bad. That wasn't that, bad.
Oh, come on. That
for all
was
you wrestling
fun.
Fans out there.
I'm not
Cough
even that
Owen.
Much of a wrestling fan, and it was great. Come on.
All right, I'll give
you're,
you that.
If you had watched it over the weekend, you'd be saying how good it was. You just saw it like 2 months ago and you forgot.
Okay, fair enough.
It was good.
All right. Well, yeah, that's our, I guess, our slight movie review of stuff that we watched. I don't know. Are you watching cool films? Let us know. How would you let us know? I don't know.
There's no like message.
Well,
forum,
I mean, there's the. So basically, this will post
thread.
Up on the Oh No Radio Show site. There is a comment thread on the website. I don't think anybody uses it. I think everybody nowadays is just in the fashion of, hey, the episode showed up on my podcast app on my phone and they listen to it. So it streams
yes.
through there.
I come from the world of YouTube where it's all like, comment down below.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to see this on YouTube. Another thing I wanted to talk about before we kick it out of here is you recently have finally taken steps forward to getting your unemployment, and I think you should tell everyone about it.
Yeah, it's been a real shit show.
Shit show.
I think I have talked about how the process was going. So basically,
your journey, yeah.
In Georgia, I really don't know if it's the same everywhere. I know that obviously it's a federal program, but I don't know if states are... They must be implementing differently because the whole thing was it came down to the states to implement. So I'm sure this is different in other places. But here in Georgia, you had to go through the process of applying for regular unemployment through the state to then be denied, to then only then receive an email that gave you a link to start applying for your
Jesus.
PUA, Pandemic Unemployment Assistance, I think it is.
Let me ask you something. How long or time-wise did it take for you to get denied?
Well, first they told you don't apply here yet. Like, basically, just wait. So once the CARES Act was passed, it was a couple of weeks maybe where the website said, yeah, we know this thing just passed, just we're not implementing yet. We haven't implemented yet, so wait for us to give you further instructions. So while you were off and running and applying for your state unemployment, I couldn't. It just said wait. So then the next development was I was checking that website all the time. Then it says, okay, great. Go ahead and apply. It lays out this plan. Apply for the state. Yet you get denied. Then you get the email. Then you get the link. Then you fill out the form right. for the PUA. So I knew about this process. I applied for unemployment. I must have put in 3 or 4 weeks of claims before getting my denial. Then just this week, I got the link to the PUA in my email. So I finally got the email that said, okay, you might be eligible for this as a self-employed person. So fill this out. Great. I go to that. Now, I assumed I was going to be able to use my 2018 tax information for this form because that's what they said. I know it's not the same thing, but I was just thinking it would be the same as the stimulus checks that went out. For those stimulus checks, they were basing it on your 18 or 19 tax returns, whichever was the most recent that you'd submitted. So as everybody knows, they've pushed tax season off to June or July or whatever.
July, I think.
So I was thinking, okay, I don't have to put in my 2019 taxes yet. Obviously, I don't want to pay the government yet. It's a fucking pandemic and I've lost my job. So I'd like to wait to pay, right? Well, I get to this form and on the very first page, it says you're going to need your 2019 tax information.
Bummer.
Motherfucker. So now I'm working with my accountant to try to submit my 2019 taxes and pay all the money so that then I can try to get some back in unemployment.
Crazy.
Wish me luck.
Yeah. And I mean, we kind of were talking about it. Like, I really feel bad for people that, you know, we're fortunate that we're in a position where we can pay our, you know, our taxes, 2019 yeah. taxes. Can you imagine you're in a hard spot. You haven't worked for a while. You're grinding through the system to get this unemployment. And now they're telling you, you have to pay out money. You have to pay your taxes, pay your taxes to get the, you know,
okay,
the stimulus
money. If you were totally broke, you could not pay your taxes. Ugh. You could still file with no check attached.
And not pay, yeah.
And they would set you up on a payment plan. There would be penalties.
Yeah.
But you'd have
to
at least
bill.
File. Yeah.
My question, though, okay, so say you do that. Do they then take that into account when you file, and do they take that money out of your unemployment money?
I don't know what that means.
Like, pull it out of your money? So if the government's giving it to you, they know, hey, this person's on a payment plan, like garnishing your wages.
Oh, goodness, I have no idea.
I mean, that would be the ultimate fucking hack. Who knows? I just feel bad for people. I see what you're going through.
I definitely felt it was a roadblock
so stupid.
Placed very strategically yes. to either force you mm-hmm. to pay your taxes even though they're not due until July
right.
or to nudge you out of the program.
It is.
So you can't even try.
Without a doubt, it's definitely a way to say, hey, you need to toss some money back in the kitty here if you want us to pay you out some cash.
Yeah, and that's why I'm doing it, because like you said, we are fortunate to be in the position to be able to pay our taxes right now. And I'm figuring I'll pay my taxes, and then basically I've paid into my own unemployment program
yeah.
and they owe me money back now. So I'm doing it because it seems like
right.
financially the best thing to do. But man, what a bummer.
Yeah,
it all
and I mean,
was.
If anything, it's just like hopefully there's a retroactive payment here and you can get weeks worth of unemployment that you didn't get.
They said there will be.
We'll see.
I don't know. And here's another thing, and this is like maybe TMI, but whatever. I do have a job coming up, like a single project coming up
yeah,
in like
yeah.
a few weeks. So in 2 weeks or so, the job starts. The job will last about 2 weeks, and then it'll be 4 weeks till I get my payment for it. So in a couple of months, I'm going to have to claim income.
Yeah.
But the income is just a little blip, and I'm afraid. I don't know how this is all going to work. Are they going to take me off of the whole unemployment program once I'm paid once? I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know.
Yeah. Again, it's just
you shook
be
your head. No, but you have no fucking clue what they're going to do. I may
well,
report
I shook
some
my
income.
Head. No, I've read something that said basically like if you are still like a gig worker and you get a gig for one day out of the month, you claim it. And then basically they kind of prorate how you're then paid Like if you get paid way over the amount that you're getting dished out for unemployment, you're probably not going to be paid for that week or multiple weeks. And then you can still, because basically they give you kind of your limit. You know, like when I got mine approved, they said like, this is how much you're going to get, you know, total. Minus the $600 stimulus edition total for this many months.
Right.
And all that is a tally that keeps ticking down and ticking down every time I can literally see it when I do my login.
Yes, but your system is so much more straightforward.
Yeah, that's true. It's not the same one.
Than this other federal program. Ugh. Just to be determined. We'll see.
Stay tuned for that drama. Mm. All right. Let's round off the show the way we always do. Play a little Table Topics. Again, for those of you who don't know what we're doing, we play this game called Table Topics. It's a card game you can play. This one is Table Topics Couples. How cute. But I guess it's supposed to stimulate conversation at your hip parties. And then you'll be like, what's a party? Well, a party was back in early 2020 is when people would get together at someone's house and just talk and drink and maybe touch each other occasionally. You know,
sounds gross.
Yeah, I know, right? All right, I'll pull the first card. What would you miss most if you were no longer in this relationship? If we broke up tomorrow.
Oh boy, I'd miss so much, honestly. Aww. We have built a life together over the more than a decade that we've been together. So it's like the whole structure of my life would collapse. And I'd miss, you know, emotional support. Like you're the first person I want to call when something, you know, happens, anything. So my whole life and your support. And you, I mean, you, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of took it out of my mouth there, the words. That's what I would say, too. I mean, you're kind of my rock, and you say the things I need to hear sometimes, and you push me that extra mile, and yeah, aww. And that's the thing, that only kind of comes with a lot of time together and a lot of experience, and it would really suck. I mean, not to be a jerk, too, but I don't want to have to get back in the dating game.
Oh, yeah, also true.
Can you imagine the dating game now?
No, I don't want to.
COVID-19 dating game? It's not even existent.
Oh, you know, this is so off topic, but I have got to mention it before I forget. There was one more thing I wanted to talk about today that you just reminded me of.
Oh, wow. Dating?
Well, I was thinking about face masks and kissing,
times?
Right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
How, like, gross, you know?
Yeah,
but
definitely.
Here's another gross one. Okay. Americans altering their face masks to have holes. It's like... one person, and people think it's so fucking brilliant, like online it's like, look at this brilliant person.
I saw
a
picture of somebody smoking a cigarette with one.
Okay. And I've seen one with somebody drinking out of a straw. There
Idiot.
Was another one where somebody had like sewn in, you know, like on the top of a what do you call them, like
that's so stupid,
baby wipes. Mm-hmm. There's like a plastic flip top.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody sewed that into the mask so they could open it up and like eat and drink through it. Okay. Americans altering your fucking face masks. Think about how gross that straw is traveling through the material that has just picked up all the germs, and now you're putting it in your mouth.
It's like a water slide that COVID-19 can take and slide right into your mouth.
Yeah. What kind of idiot do you have to be? And then to put it all over the internet in articles and be like, isn't this so smart?
Check out this life hack. I mean, basically,
oh,
it's like taking a condom and poking pinholes in it.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
All right.
Okay, moving on.
Good point. There we go.
Which friends have a relationship most like ours? That one's hard, man.
Like
I hate
a couple,
to judge other
a couple
couples. Yeah,
friend?
Yeah. That's a weird
couple
one.
Couple friend.
We could move on from that.
Oh, boy. I don't know, and I don't want to say because I don't want to judge. Like, I don't want to, A, leave anybody out or assume that somebody's like that.
Right. No, I don't love it.
I mean,
maybe our parents.
Here,
I mean,
here's
not
what
on my
I would say,
as
I think a lot of our couple friends are lovely. And I would hope that they do have something great, you know? And I guess from my perception, a lot of our couple friends look like they're smitten and in love and they support each other. So I would kind of like to just say probably all of them have a good relationship. But if I could compare them to ours, I don't know.
Well, I think it's
kind of being
I think the
elitist
question
too, right?
Is asking about traits. But
oh, traits?
Like, yeah. You know, relationship traits. But,
I don't know.
How do I know?
Yeah.
My main thing, and my mom always used to say this, and now that I'm in a long-term relationship, I totally see it. you never know what's going on behind closed doors. So in front of people, people can be a certain way, and you don't know what it's like behind. And that can be good and bad. Sometimes yes. you may think somebody's an asshole, but behind closed doors, they have yeah. a really supportive relationship.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, you just can't, you can't know what's going on behind people's relationship.
It also, you know, and it brings it back to how you should be with individuals. You should be the same way with couples. You just can't judge a book by its cover. You know, so you
sure.
could just basically assume, but I wouldn't assume. You don't
nah,
know. You don't
let's
know.
Move on.
All right, we'll each do one more. Here's mine, then you pull one.
All right, master.
Yes, well, we're just
game master.
We're drawing time here, so nobody wants to keep listening to us.
True. Go on.
All right. What's the craziest thing we've ever done together?
Huh. We don't do crazy things. Oh, we got barred from leaving Jamaica.
Yeah, you took that one from me. I was just going to say that we got stuck in Jamaica on a job. I got stuck in Jamaica and you stayed there with me.
Yeah. Sent your passport back to America.
Yeah, we were working on a production job. I was a DIT. Catherine was a production
coordinator
at the time. We were working at a resort in Jamaica.
All inclusive.
Beautiful place. Yeah, brand new. Had already been there for almost over a week, I think. And producer was leaving early. I was staying later to secure footage and things that DITs do. Catherine was going to stay with me. We were going to get a whole extra day out of it.
Well, like an extra afternoon. We were supposed
yeah.
to leave the next morning.
And in the kind of shuffle for them to get out of here, obviously I had also been totally exhausted, not having much sleep.
And also they sprung it on us at the last moment. They were like, you guys want to stay a night? And we were like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And then they left.
Yeah. The producer took a bag I had, which was a tech bag with cables and such, turned out my passport was in it. Mm. Found out, turned peaked white the night that I did find out. We freaked out. We ended up staying in Jamaica because we had to wait for the producer to properly send me back my fucking passport.
Well, they had to FedEx it. Then it had to go through customs.
It was crazy.
It took like four extra days. And
that
it was
nuts.
An all-inclusive resort. It was amazing.
We stayed there every day. Ate like kings. We fucking partied there.
Swim-up bar with
unbelievable
daiquiris.
We
they
couldn't
had
have
a,
been stranded in a better situation.
They had a fucking... this was like also the best time I've ever had with you, maybe. Like top five for sure. They had like a resort... opening party, what do you call that? An opening
a grand
party?
Opening.
Grand opening.
Yeah.
They had their grand opening party when we were there. And we had
nuts. Shrimp
like
tail or lobster tail.
Fucking grilled lobster, like big cabana, like bed that we hung out on, drinking cocktails.
Fireworks,
all of it was
over
free.
The beach.
Fireworks, concert.
It's pretty badass.
Free.
Yeah.
All free.
And then basically once I got my passport in my hands, producer said, now get your ass out of Jamaica. And we
and
had
we were
to
like,
fucking literally flee the country.
Well, they were like, you know, there was the next flight was like 2 hours away. We're like, yeah, but we're not, we haven't left the resort yet. They were like, you got to go now.
Yeah.
I have never packed so fucking
fast.
It was
insane.
It was literally like you see in the movies,
yeah.
like dumping drawers into the bag.
Oh, yeah.
Just zipping it up as fast as you could. Man, we, yeah. Fucking
there
out.
You go. I say we both kind of agree that it's probably the
that's
craziest
it.
Thing that we
that
have done
it.
Together.
All right.
Last
that's,
one.
That's not a card. Hold on. Which of us is the better listener?
Well, I probably you.
It's definitely me.
There's just another quick one we could both agree on. I would believe if sometimes I have selective listening. And I'm quite frequently told I don't listen. So I kind of agree with that.
I mean, I'm a flake too. And like, I don't know, I'm not the best listener in the whole wide world or anything, but yeah, between the two of us, you drive me fucking insane sometimes when I say things and 30 minutes later, you ask me the same thing I just answered you 30 minutes ago. Like, God damn it, Tom.
What?
God damn it, Tom.
Alrighty. Well, I think that's it for the show. We've talked enough, and you're all probably really bored. What am I talking about?
Are you bored?
You're not freaking bored.
Tom?
You people are loving the fact that you have something to do, and you're going to thank us for it later. But
wow.
Thank you for listening to the show. A quick shout-out. Today is Owen's birthday. Happy
Whoa.
Birthday, Owen.
Happy birthday, Owen.
Enjoy your quarantine birthday. Blow out those candles 6 feet away from your lovely wife. But yeah, happy birthday. I mean, join the quarantine birthday club. You just got to make it interesting. I don't know what to tell you. You just got to try to find some flavor in there.
Cocktails and takeout.
There you go. Yeah. Don't do Mexican though. But yeah, thank you for listening to the show. We're going to keep doing these. We do these on a weekly basis. Like every week I always post up, either articles that we talk about if they're relevant and available, or I post up the clips that I play at the beginning and the end of the show. Speaking of, we're going to go out to one of those. This one is a little ditty. It's the Coronavirus Rising Song, which is a CCR parody, for those of you who know who CCR are. Hopefully you're that age and you do. They're badass. But yeah, thanks a lot for listening. I hope you stay safe, you stay healthy, wear a mask, don't cut holes in your mask to smoke your cigarettes.
Please don't.
And yeah, we'll get with you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I see coronavirus rising. I see